I'm Michael Copeland, Rabbi Ikonoshav in San Golden Gate, the Bay Area.
I am Muslims for Rights Group in commission as well.
So where I am, me,
San Francisco, we're a United in Spirit organization that together every Christians, Jews, Catholics, Buddhists, Hindus, together one simple message. Each of us valued as a sacred being on this earth. And in this time of profound division, it is even more important that the two of us stand here together today. We will not be defined by the minority of American faithful who claim that their religion and values should supersede mine or yours. In my Shaar Zahav community at our services this weekend, we read all the names of those we've lost over our 48 years to AIDS in anticipation of World AIDS Day today. The list is long, and yet, of course, it's just one tiny speck compared to the total. Each person, each name encompasses an entire world. In our sacred scriptures, the Torah, one of the words for person is the same as the word for soul, neshama. Each individual name sewn into the AIDS quilt represents a unique, precious, and pure soul. As we remember them, we also celebrate all of those in our community who are living with HIV and AIDS and thriving. From our Shaar Zahav prayer book, I offer a healing blessing. In community with our queer ancestors, most of whose names are lost to us, forgotten, or even deliberately obliterated, may we be blessed and healed in free and open ways not always granted to those who went before us. May we come to know a time of complete healing. May we share this healing with all the world. In the name of all who have been forgotten, as a blessing for all queer folk who are here and for all of those who are yet to come, we say amen. Our communities have gained at immense cost collective wisdom about honoring each soul, human dignity, loss, and perseverance in the face of disease and hate. On this World AIDS Day, may we take this learning and move forward with pride and with strength.
Excuse me for a second. My book is giving me a hard time. Got it. Here we are. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you all, and the mercy and the blessings of the divine, the beloved. Bismillah ir-Rahman ir-Rahim ir-Wa al-Wadud. In the name of the divine, the unfathomably compassionate, the infinitely merciful, and the all-loving. Welcome. Ya Habibi, O beloved, we turn to you and see your presence in our lives. For decades, we have faced the scourge of AIDS together and ask that you help us. New treatments give us hope. We ask that those hopes are blessed and fulfilled by your guidance and love. For virtually half a century, we have searched for true healing and seek it now, reaching for it through the efforts of our doctors and our scientists, through the efforts of our mental health community, through the support and care of our dear friends and families, and through the love that you, the all-loving, have for each of us and every one of us, irrespective of faith, culture, gender, or who we love and how we love. And in that reach, in our hope, let us never forget that those who have worked for our futures, those who have held us through our pain, and those who are now resting without a doubt in your arms and heart. Beloved, I look at these who are here, and I see love. I look at those who we honor today, and I see determination, dedication, and devotion that inspires all around them. I see leadership in a time when it is lacking, and I see a commitment to the future generations that, in memory and honor of those we have loved and lost, will help us forge ahead. Yahwadud, O all-loving divine, I ask that you assist us and enable us to succeed in our efforts. We turn to you in thanks and join with each other in the knowledge that, at our core, we are siblings created by your love. May we be constant in our love and support for each other. Amen. Thank you.
Please welcome to the stage Dan Ashley.
Good afternoon, everyone. What a great privilege and honor to be with you today on this most important day, every December 1st, World AIDS Day. I am truly humbled and honored to be in the presence of so many kind, compassionate, and wonderful people who work every day to make this community and all communities a better place. Also, in my line of work at Channel 7, anytime I can be in front of a large group of people who can't change the channel, that's a special treat, too. In all of our years, those of us old enough, we've come to many pivotal moments in the life of our country, and we're at another one now. And never has compassion, commitment, activism, involvement been more important. And that's why gathering like we are this weekend, last night, and here today is so very important. Because together, we can move mountains and we can't be moved. I want to acknowledge some very special people who have been part of this battle, this effort for equality, healthcare, acceptance, love, all of these years. Of course, Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi. We're literally here because of her. San Francisco Mayor Daniel Lurie. Whose leadership in this city is remarkable. State Senator Scott Wiener. State Assemblyman Matt Haney. Nice to have Matt here. San Francisco Supervisor Raphael Mendelman. City Supervisor Matt Dorsey. San Francisco Rec and Park General Manager Phil Ginsburg. And a great friend to this effort, Gilead CEO Daniel O'Day. Thank you all for being here. What a special day. And I want to begin with our first speaker, someone who has been a friend of mine for a number of years and whose commitment and dedication and sense of community is off the charts. Daniel Bernal is UC San Francisco's Vice Chancellor for Community and Government Relations. He's also Nancy Pelosi's former Chief of Staff. So please welcome to the stage Dan Bernal.
Well, good morning, everyone. As Dan mentioned, my name is Dan Bernal, and I had the privilege of serving in Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi's office for 22 years, most recently as her Chief of Staff. So anywhere you go in this country, you hear people say that Nancy Pelosi is the most impactful speaker in our nation's history, and with good reason. For making history as the first woman speaker in the United States House of Representatives, to making progress for the American people with the passage of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the Affordable Care Act, the CHIPS and Science Act, the Infrastructure Investment Act, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, I believe that no one has benefited more from the leadership of Nancy Pelosi, than the community that is gathered here today. From landmark legislation like the Ryan White Care Act to the housing opportunities for people with AIDS to doubling the funding for the National Institutes of Health to providing expanded access to Medicaid for people with HIV. But her impact is measured not just in legislation or funding secured for life-saving research and access to care. It's measured in courage, commitment, and compassion. Courage on the day that she was sworn into the U.S. House of Representatives when she said, "I'm here to fight AIDS." Commitment when she wrote legislation to establish this grove as the only national memorial to HIV and AIDS, and her commitment on volunteer days here in the grove when she's pulling weeds and planting trees. And in compassion, I know she's telling me to keep going, and in compassion to uphold the dignity of those of us who are living with HIV and AIDS, to console the family members and loved ones of those we have lost, and in the lives she has saved, including mine. So, from the day she was elected to Congress 38 years ago, Nancy Pelosi has stood with us when few others would. And at a time when the current administration will not even acknowledge the existence of World AIDS Day, she is still standing with us. We will always stand with you, Madam Speaker. So please join me in welcoming our forever speaker, Nancy Pelosi.
Good morning, everyone. So, come on. Good morning. This must be the morning of the Dans. Daniel Laurie, Dan O'Day, Dan Bernal, Dan Ashley. I mean, Nancy, not quite a Dan. Anyway, some of us were here last night. Some of us are still here from last night. Some of us have changed since last night, have we? And in any event, it's wonderful to be with all of you. My remarks are probably not going to be as long as the introduction, but anyway, what it might be. In any event, to be at this place, a place of renewal, a place of remembrance, and with people who have shared experience in terms of the loss of life and loved ones is such a spiritual occasion. So beautifully introduced by people of faith, the imam and the rabbi. And faith is really, people ask me all the time, where do we have hope? I said, hope is where it always has been. You heard me say this last night, right between faith and charity. We believe in the goodness, as you discussed, imam, the goodness of others, and that gives us hope. And we believe in the goodness of each other here. John Cunningham, you have been a hero to all of us for such a long time for putting this to this place. It's almost impossible to quantify all of the things that you have done, except that all of it adds up to something quite remarkable. I also want to add, say, where's Phil Gimsberg? I didn't see him. Yeah, there you are, Phil. Thank you. Because the mayor was asking me, what was this before it was this? And it was a mess. And my daughter, Christine, who's here with her daughter, Bella, we weeded, we planted, we did all of those things. But what we also did was to put in the legislation changing the Presidio from a national military base to a national park. The establishment of this land here as the national memorial for HIV/AIDS. So people said to me in Washington, why should it be in San Francisco? How dare you ask me that question? Everything that we have done, whether we're talking about the Ryan White Care Act, community, as we talked about last night, community-based care, prevention, and research, community coming together with the word unity in it was a model to the nation. And that's how we got that bill. Hope Hapua, Housing Opportunity for People, they started in San Francisco. Almost every initiative that has, I think every initiative about HIV/AIDS sprang from all of you. So I have a lot I wanted to talk about here today, but I'm going to be brief because I had my turn last night. I know that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are going to be honored. Troy's going to be honored. So many are going to be honored. But I thought since we started with faith, just to say this, sometimes I don't even want to go into, I mean, it's such a foul deed that has happened to our country, but they say to me, faith or science, take your pick. Take my pick? God created science. Faith is science. And science, the biblical power to cure, is what they are cutting off there. Thank you, Dan, for what Gilead is doing in terms of research for that, all of that. How could they possibly say such a thing? But how could they possibly have said that we should not be observing the commemoration of World AIDS Day in our country? There's something wrong there. But rather than go into that, I'm just going to go into Freddie Mercury. I'm closing. So I said that three times last night, but this just once today. Here's the thing. I said to you all last night that the LGBTQ movement to address the challenge of HIV/AIDS was an act of patriotism for America. It was people speaking out. Mobilization, right, Christy? Mobilization to get the job done. And because of that outside mobilization, we were able to be effective with our inside maneuvering. But without all of you, without Dan Bernal and the staff that really made so many things happen. Dan, thank you for your tremendous leadership and now at UCSF. But Dan and Steve Morin and Chris Collins and so many, you know, so many people over there. So I said you were patriots. So thank you for your patriots. But today, since Freddie's quilt is patch, we call it a patch, is up there, we'll just say, we are champions. We are champions. Thank you for being champions. Thank you for all of this. Let us all be prayerful as we observe National AIDS Day.
Well, twice within 12 hours, we get to hear from her. Good morning. Good afternoon. My name is John Cunningham. I'm the National AIDS Memorial CEO, and I want to welcome you to the 2025 World AIDS Day observance. As Speaker Emerita Pelosi just shared, it's about leadership, right? It's about leadership in times of challenge. And we know that San Francisco has led the way since the very beginning of this crisis. The San Francisco model of care is not only used as an example to how to overcome the hurdles around HIV and AIDS, but it's also used around the world of how to bring about impact and change that is sustaining in communities that need help. Today, our city has never shied away from meeting a moment such as this. It is said that in the beginning, that the most difficult times for solving a public health crisis are at the beginning and at the end. We met the moment head on in the early years, and today we are called upon again to meet the moment. To achieve this will take leadership and collaboration and a multi-pronged approach to bring together resources from both the public and the private sector. Today on World AIDS Day, we are honored to have with us two such leaders who share a commitment to achieving the goal of getting to zero. Please help me in welcoming to the stage San Francisco Mayor Daniel Lurie and Gilead CEO Dan O'Day.
There's only one person that deserves a standing ovation, and it's the Speaker Emerita the forever speaker. I appreciate everybody being here. I would like to do something. I was sitting listening to the imam and the rabbi and feeling really honored to be here, but I'd also love all of us to take a moment of silence to honor the San Franciscans whose lives were cut short by AIDS and to recognize the families, the friends, the caregivers, and the advocates who stood with them. Thank you. In the early years of the epidemic, when the government failed to respond, San Francisco acted. Community members created the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, providing care and education that others had not yet been willing to provide. As a city, we opened the first outpatient AIDS clinic and the first inpatient ward because our residents needed leadership. In the years that followed, we built a care system grounded in compassion for people living with HIV and AIDS. We embraced PrEP early, helping shape new approaches to prevention. San Francisco became a national model for public health leadership. A strong sense of community guided us through those dark early years. The Fighting for Our Lives marches, the candlelight gatherings, and the AIDS Memorial Quilt brought us together and helped define who we are as a city. It's hard to imagine that the National AIDS Memorial Grove was once an overgrown and, as the speaker emeritus said, mess. The site was in disrepair due to budget cuts and a lack of maintenance. But this grove, built by thousands of volunteer hands, reflect the heart of San Francisco, a community that chose to honor those we lost by creating a sanctuary of hope and remembrance. Today, we recognize the progress made here and across the country. World AIDS Day reminds us to honor those who carried this work forward, and it reminds us clearly that the job is not finished. While HIV diagnoses in San Francisco have fallen dramatically over the past decade, last year's data showed a slight uptick, and the increases we're seeing among African-American residents and among women make clear that disparities still exist and persist. These differences demand our continued focus and action. But we also know that San Francisco, we always lead with solutions. Getting to Zero San Francisco continues to bring together hundreds of partners with one goal: to end new infections and preventable deaths and end stigma. And we are seeing the results of that collaboration. Most people newly diagnosed with HIV in our city are linked to care quickly, and the vast majority achieve viral suppression within their first year. We're expanding access to testing, whether in clinics, in community settings, or through home-delivered tests. Our health access points are reducing barriers for the most communities who need support the most. And PrEP use continues to grow, reflecting our commitment to prevention as the cornerstone of this work. On World AIDS Day, we remember those we lost and the generation of advocates whose courage carries us forward. Their legacy is the foundation for everything that we do today. And we look ahead to the work that must continue, to the progress that is still within reach, and to a future where no one in this city suffers from a preventable disease. I want to thank a leader in Speaker Emerita who has been working her entire career on this issue. You ensured that this national memorial stands here in San Francisco and that it reflects your extraordinary impact. You have strengthened our city for decades, and your leadership leaves a lasting mark on San Francisco. And I want to thank Gilead and another Dan. To every partner who brought us here together today, I also say thank you. Your dedication to support and to strengthen the city of our future and today, I say thank you to all of you for being here today. Dan.
Thank you, Mayor Lurie. And it's just so incredible to look out at this audience and look at all of the community partners here that are working so tirelessly to end the HIV epidemic for everyone, everywhere. And I'm delighted to be here today to represent a lot of my Gilead colleagues that are here too, that we wake up and go to sleep every day with that same mission in mind. First of all, thank you, Speaker Emerita Pelosi, for your decades of leadership, your infusion of hope to all of us. It's just extraordinary. We take that to heart in terms of our future and our forward. And I want to say thank you to Mayor Lurie for your commitment to building on that decades of legacy, as you just did here. And I know that you deeply believe on a daily basis. And of course, I want to thank John. John, it's extraordinary how powerful it is, our connection with the National AIDS Memorial, the work that you do on a daily basis, today, of course, but the other 364 days of the year with passion and perseverance and commitment. You know, the work that you do makes sure that we honor the past, remembering the lives that are lost, and it's so important. It's perhaps more important than ever now that we remember history. The past is our lesson. It serves as a constant reminder of what can never happen again and what might happen if we risk sliding backwards. And that's why World AIDS Day is so essential to the ongoing efforts to end the HIV epidemic. It's a day of remembrance around the world, and it's critical that we continue to remember the past so that we can achieve our future together. Today, I'm speaking on behalf of Gilead Sciences, a company that I have the privilege of leading here in the Bay Area, but I'm also speaking as a proud resident of San Francisco. In both capacities, I've had the opportunity to witness the remarkable progress made against HIV that the mayor spoke about, the scientific progress in treatment and prevention and its impact across the world, and the progress made here in my home city, a city that has shown the world what courage, community, and persistence can accomplish. When I think about the progress that San Francisco has made in fighting HIV and how close we are to the zero infection rate, I'm reminded of what John said, that the first steps and the last steps of any journey are almost always the hardest. There's no doubt that the first steps that many of you in this room were here for in combating HIV/AIDS demanded bravery in the face of fear, stigma, and devastating loss. The last steps, the ones we are taking now to end HIV in the city, will require similar levels of resolve and persistence. The last steps to zero require us to reach some of the most vulnerable groups, including the unhoused, and that will need a multi-pronged approach: funding, innovation, expertise, very importantly, people who have the trust of those we want to help, and the commitment of leaders. But above all, I think new and, you know, newly imagined levels of partnerships. We have great partnerships. How do we take those to the next level to get to zero? We are beginning these final steps with a new tool at our disposal, with twice yearly PrEP that was nearly 20 years in the making by the scientists that I have the privilege of working with every day, and making a new resolve. Last month, just a few weeks ago, I was in Eswatini in Africa to celebrate a historic moment in the history of HIV/AIDS. For the first time ever, a new HIV medicine, lenacapavir, is available in sub-Saharan Africa in the same year it was approved in the United States. Infectious diseases know no boundaries. If we don't end the epidemic everywhere, we won't end it anywhere. So it was science, partnership, and purpose coming together when I was there last week. If we can close gaps and make history across the world, We can do the same here in the Bay Area. We can make San Francisco one of the first cities in the world to end HIV. I personally, and I speak, yes, let's make it that commitment. I personally, I know all the colleagues I work with at Gilead are committed. I know that Mayor Lurie is committed. John, all of our community partners here, this great city can get to zero infections, but not just zero infections, zero stigma, zero discrimination. Those things go together. I commit to you that we will bring all we can to the table on behalf of Gilead, resources, innovation, expertise from our decades in the community. Gilead's committed to the mission in San Francisco and around the world, and we are honored to walk the last mile with you. Thank you all very much for your being here today.
Thank you both. The story of this pandemic is one told by, through, and about heroes. And we want to acknowledge two very special heroes today, in addition to the ones we've already talked about. But we have some local heroes that we want to recognize. The Tom Wieland Unsung Hero Award is very important to this organization. It's bestowed on an individual who exemplifies Tom's spirit of humility and selfless service to the community. Throughout his adult life, Tom Wieland, and while living with AIDS, served as an extraordinary selfless leader in the local HIV and AIDS movement. Tom served as executive director of the National AIDS Memorial from 1997 to 2001, helped to shepherd in it to its present-day national status, in addition to serving as a board member of the memorial until his passing. Tom Wieland was instrumental, and what he did was remarkable. And so this award is presented in his honor. And this year, very proud to present the award to someone I've known for more than 30 years, Dan Brunette. Oh, not Dan, I'm sorry. It's just a Freudian slip today. I apologize. Troy Brunette, the one and only Troy Brunette. Please watch your monitor. We have a little bit more about Troy.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rico Coulter. I'm with the National AIDS Memorial. And I have been an employee for about a year, but I've been volunteering for almost two decades. And I keep coming back because the spirit of community here is one that is rarely found and is very, very palpable. And when I first came, that spirit was embodied in a very shiny man who has become a good friend of mine. And I'm so honored to be able to present Troy Brunet with the Tom Wieland Unsung Hero Award. You're a hero to all of us, and we are so, so honored to be able to celebrate you today. Would you join us up here?
Thank you all. Thank you all so much. Oh boy. I don't know if I'm going to do this, y'all. You know, growing up in Catholic with parents that made sure you got up and you functioned every day, it's really helped me to get up every day, regardless of the challenges that I have. But I will say one thing. God gets me through. Being a spiritual person and finding the Metropolitan Community Church of San Francisco, that has kind of grounded me here and kept me moving and functioning and having the Lord to keep me steady every day really says a lot for me. And all of that that's up on that screen, whew, that's just a minute part of it all. This body is a lot. It is a lot of challenges. It is quite frustrating at times, but I keep doing it. And I'm so grateful to John. Thank you, John Cunningham, and the board of directors for offering this beautiful gift to me. I thank you all so much. Trying to write down a few words here. My partner, John, almost 22 years, you have been dealing with my crazy behind. And I am so appreciative of you, sweetie. I love you dearly. All of my friends that are here in volunteer cohorts, thank you. Thank you all so much. Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, I see you scooted out of here. But years ago, I was working with AARP as the district liaison for the state of California. And Nancy Pelosi was one of the people I was working with. And to have been able to be accepted by her and asking to join her for different things has been such an honor. And knowing that she made sure that this place was here for us just fills me up. It really does. Seeing all of you out here today has got me very, very emotional. You know, you kind of lose your words and what you want to say. But I do have to thank the doctors from Ward 86, especially Dr. Judith Luce, who saw me through. She and her husband, John Luce, were right there with me. I was actually on the phone with my mother in New Orleans and eating a Haagen-Dazs ice cream bar in the hospital. And she said, the next thing I know, I was intubating you and telling your mother she needs to get here right away. And waking up almost 2 months later and finding her on my side was one of the best things, but also trying to figure out what just happened and trying to learn how to do it all again has been quite challenging. And I'm just grateful that I can get up and keep going. You know, last night, Cleve Jones said some really beautiful things to me and about me. And it just really, it just all so touches my heart. I've got a room full of beautiful people that do great things and that keep functioning so that we all can function together. Positivity, I live by it every day. I always speak about that. Find something that brings you some joy and live through it each day. Find it, even if it's a little minute thing. Hold on to that. That's the only thing that can keep you going sometimes. Yeah, John cracks up at me because I'm in the bathroom at least 3 hours a day trying to get myself together. Because trying to stretch this body out and get everything moving and functioning properly takes a little while sometimes. This has been a hard journey. But as I say, I'm just grateful. I'm not going to stay up here too long, but thank you all so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much, Troy, and congratulations. Well-deserved recognition. Thank you for putting up with that struggle every day to keep making a difference in other people's lives, which you do. And next year, may I borrow the purple cape? It's a good look. I like it. Our next award is the National Leadership Recognition Award. And this award is bestowed on an individual or an organization, in this case, which has made a significant national impact on the fight against HIV and AIDS, whose leadership and passion have raised greater awareness about this disease and have improved the lives of those living with HIV and AIDS nationwide through their dedicated leadership. Past recipients include, of course, Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, Jeannie White Ginder, President Bill Clinton, actor Judith Light, social activist Phil Wilson, youth activist Hydea Broadbent, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, so a distinguished group in that award. And certainly this recipient is well worthy of being in that group because this organization has done so much to uplift this community and to raise awareness around the country. Please watch your monitors as we recognize the incredible work of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. And happy World AIDS Day. We don't forget World AIDS Day here, and we never will. So welcome. My name is Oscar Fabian. I'm the Director of Development for the National AIDS Memorial. And it is my honor to present the award to the sisters. But before I do, a little spiel here. This year's National Leadership Recognition Award recipients are the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Since their first appearance in San Francisco on Easter Sunday, 1979, the sisters have devoted themselves to community service, ministry, outreach to those on the edges, and to promoting human rights, respect for diversity, and spiritual enlightenment. They use humor and irreverent wit to expose the forces of bigotry, complacency, and guilt that chain the human spirit. Please join me in welcoming one of the founders. This is pretty awesome. One of the founders of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, Sister Vishnu. Please join me on the stage.
Yes, I am one of the original founders of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. My name is Sister Vishnu, K-N-E-W. Oh, Ja, I didn't see you were here. K-N-E-W. Why K-N-E-W? Because the number one question asked of me these days, did you know that the sisters would last 46 years and spread around the world? Yes, I knew, because the sisterhood is incredibly dynamic and creative. In 1981 and 82, the sisters produced the world's first safe sex materials called Playfair. Okay. Sister Florence Nightmare RN, Bobby Campbell, an actual nurse, was instrumental in this effort. In 1983, Bobby was the first person with AIDS to appear in the national media on the cover of Newsweek. But let me back up here a bit. The origins of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence begin in Iowa City, Iowa, small town, right, Roman? in a drag show. I brought the habits with me when I moved to San Francisco in 1977. Everyone in Iowa City said, "You're not coming back." I said, "I haven't been west of Colorado. Why do you say that?" because you are San Francisco. They had been here, they knew before I knew, okay? I and a friend on Easter weekend in 1979 donned the habits and went out for a day of frolicking on the streets. The reaction in jaded San Francisco was electrifying. We decided after that experience to form a group to serve the community in multiple communities through social activism and charity. We are 21st century nuns. We have chapters and houses, we call them, in 52 US cities and 14 countries around the world. We are dedicated to the promulgation of universal joy and the expiation of stigmatic guilt. Those are our vows that we take every year at Easter. Come see us at Easter in Dolores Park. For a deep academic dive into who we are and what we do, a book by University of California professor of religion, Melissa Wilcox, called Queer Nuns, explains a lot. She terms us activists using serious parody. We are greatly honored by this recognition of our 46 years of tireless philanthropic work for our AIDS organizations around the world. Now, will my sisters please come up here? Sister Mary Media, Sister Roma, Sister Ja.
Thank you, thank you. I thank you so much. Honestly, Vish, thanks to you and the crazy nuts who put on those nuns' habits. No, we wouldn't even be here if it weren't for you. I think that I speak for sisters around the world. There are 50 plus in San Francisco and hundreds of others. When I say that our drag has always been motivated in activism and community service and charity. So when something like this happens and you recognize our years of service and dedication and love, it's a huge unexpected surprise and an amazing honor. And looking out at this beautiful community, it has been our privilege to work among you and serve you. So we share this with all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I would just like to say that it is a great honor to accept this award, and I would like to do it in memory of the many nuns who've we've lost over the years, Bobby Campbell and Sister Boom Boom, and all of the ones that couldn't be here today. I try every day to embody the spirit and the work that they engaged in so that we can continue to serve the community in ways that the community needs.
I'm Sister Zsa Zsa Glamour, and I've over the years I've spoken to a lot of high school students and college classes, and the three things I like to tell people that are most memorable about the sisters. Number one, we already talked about Bobby Campbell, who was the poster boy for AIDS back in the very beginning. Number two, when they were doing Pride 25 in New York, during the organization period, it was our own Sister Vicious that insisted that the T be added to LGBT. And third, our own Sister Chanel 2000, better known as Gilbert Baker, created the rainbow flag. Most of us on this stage and many others that aren't here today, half our lives we've lived as sisters. I've been with the sisters 34 years. I just turned 70, so I'm pretty close to half my life as a sister.
Thank you so much.